So we're going to talk about Yaakov and his family's descent to Egypt. I like to say that the first half of this week's parsha, you have a group of people who think that they know the plan, and someone tells them, "No, that's not the plan." Someone else has a different plan, and then someone else, even another person, another being, has a different plan and tells someone else about that plan, right? Because the beginning, the brothers think they have a plan. The brothers think they understand the plan. You know, they think that they're trying to. They understand Binyamin's been taken. Binyamin's been taken and he's been framed. They try to plead with Yosef, but that's not the plan, said Yosef. You know, this is all just to see whether you're going to be remain loyal to Binyamin. And Power has his own plan, right? Bringing them down to Egypt. And meanwhile, God, you know, has the ultimate plan, and he tells Yaakov his plan. That's what this parsha is about. What's interesting is that both Yosef and Paro try to convince Yaakov and his family to come down to Egypt. Like, they don't have to do that. There's a famine going on, and Yosef discloses the identity to his brothers. So what else could have happened? What? He could have given them food, right? So why didn't they? Why is it important? Why does Yosef want them to come down to Egypt?
Prophecy.
You mean Yosef thinks that they're...
Wasn't there a prophecy to Avram that...
Right, so there was a prophecy that your children will be...
Yeah.
So you're supposed to...
So you think Yosef wanted to see his parents bow down this time with everybody?
Oh, so maybe you say Yosef wanted it. Yosef wanted to fulfill the prophecy. That's the.
Have that
right. That's an interesting question. Like, you know, can you, right? So what Yosef said. What do you think?
Isn't it just practical? I mean, he's the viceroy.
Right.
I mean, if they don't come down, he's not going to see his father.
Right. So he can't leave. You're saying.
He may be prohibited from leaving.
Right.
Now he serves at Paro's pleasure.
Right. So you're saying so that maybe he can't do it. Right. So Yosef says. It's here in Perek Mem Pasuk Da. Viomer Yosef Elachav. Yosef to his brothers, Gashu Noi Live Egash. You come close to me, and they came close. Viomer, he said, Ani Yosef Achecha. I'm Yosef, your brother. Asher Bachartu Osi Ben Tzraim. You sold me in Egypt. Vata. Now Al Teyatzvu Vayichar Beirechem. Don't be sad. Don't be angry. Ki Machartu Osi Hena that you sold me here. Ki LeMichyash Lachani Elakim Lifnechem. Because God sent me here, right, to provide food for you. Kizeshin Asayim Hara Beker Vaaretz. We've had famines for 2 years in the land. It's got another 5 years left. But there's not going to be any harvesting, any plowing. And Hashem sent me before you, so you can be to place for you a remnant in the land, and so you can be and you can live, you can safely and securely. If they tell you could be like escape the famine. Now the Ramban says, so I skipped it. There's a piece there that I skipped, and he says, Ramban says in the pasuk v'amar penti v'ashatav v'esacha, it's derech kavod. He says ki la'achiv amar, his brother said ki le'michya shalchani alokim v'techav. He said for food, l'asum l'cham sheris. Meisim v'lo'ishel l'cham sheris. If you stay in the land, you're not going to be able to have. You won't be able to remain alive. Aval Aviv lo ratzel lamarkei. He didn't want to tell it to his father. Vamar, and he says, "Sheim tisakev baaretz kanan tivareish." He says, "If you stay in the land, you're gonna remain poor." So he tells him. I forgot to write the pasuk. He said, tell the father, if you remain in the land, you're gonna remain poor. Why? Ki ani lo uchal lishloch lachal eretz kanan lechem ra miginzei haMelech. Yosef says, "I'm not able to send food to you from the storehouse of the king." Why is that? So you're saying, Aaron, like he himself could leave. Ramban says even more than that. He says, "Yeah, I can't send them. I can't send you all this food." If I'm sending all this food back to my homeland, you know what they're going to think? I'm going to return. I'm planning on returning. Atem avi v'achi itein li hamelech v'shus. Now, when you come and they know that you're my father and my brother, maybe the king will give me permission. Okay, maybe. But right now, if I just start sending a lot of food to back to land.
When Yaakov died, Pharaoh gave him permission to bury him.
To bury them, but he was nervous. Because Yosef, by the way, you know why I let them. That was Yaakov's plan. Yaakov said to Yosef, swear to me that you're going to bury me in Eretz Canaan. And then Yosef told Pharaoh, what did he say? My father made me swear, so I can't go back on my word. So Pharaoh allowed him. That's the reason. But basically, Yosef thought that he wouldn't, that he can't right now. That he can't send them a lot of food because Pharaoh's not going to let them. They're going to think that he's trying to start an alternate kingdom. Meanwhile, Pharaoh has his own plan. So Vayomer Pharaoh Yosef, Pharaoh says to Yosef, it's in Perek Pasuk Yitzayin. Emor elachecha zos asu tanu esprichem luchubo eretz Canaan. Want you to collect your cattle and come to Eretz Canaan. You come, right? So he says, he says, ukuchu, but first, ukuchu es avichem, so go to Eretz Canaan, ukuchu es avichem, ves botechem, uboi live, and then lachem es mul Eretz Mitzray, vichlu es chelvaris. And you take your brothers, take your father, and take your houses, and come to me, and I'll give you the best of the land. You should take wagons for your kids and for your wives and bring them here. All Eretz Mitzrayim is for you. So why do you think Pharaoh wants them to stay in Eretz Canaan, the Eretz Mitzrayim? Why do you think Pharaoh wants the family to go?
Maybe because if Yosef was such an asset, maybe the rest of the brothers will be right.
The Netziv says exactly that. The Netziv and Hamikdavar says Paro Ratza Shiyovo Bnei Yisrael Tachas Rishuso. Paro wants that Bnei Yisrael will come under his domain. V'yishtak enu b'mitzrayim. They'll remain. They'll be sunk in Egypt. Yishakea. V'lo yochol lachricha b'alzeh. He couldn't force them. Treinam ibnei arzo. They don't come from Egypt. V'zel yochol lachriach. But you know what he could do? He could say, I'm not sending land to Eretz Canaan. You want food? You come to me. So Pharaoh's trying to find a way that they get there. So he can't force them to come, but he says, you want to get food, you got to come here. So they have no choice. So they're coming. And the question is, so how do you think Yaakov is feeling now? How do you think Yaakov is feeling?
Coerced?
Okay, right. But on one end, I mean, when he hears that Yosef's alive, I mean, so Yaakov is it's very complex how he feels, right? On the one hand, the Torah tells us, they went up from Egypt, they come to Eretz Canaan, they come to Yaakov, and they tell him, saying, he says, Oh Yosef, Chai, Yosef's still alive. Moshe, Eretz Mitzrayim, and he's the ruler over Egypt. He almost faints because he doesn't believe them. But Dibur Elav is called the Yosef to tell everything Yosef said. But Yaros Galos, he saw the wagons. Vatachi Ruach Yaakov Avihev. Ah, so spirit comes alive. What do you think that means? That spirit comes alive. What does it mean? His spirit comes alive. What do you think it means?
It's depression.
Right,
he's excited.
Obviously, so he's very right. So he could be depressed. Chazal actually say, in the Rashi quotes Shor Shalav Shechina, also spiritually. There's the Midrash says that you can't. The Shechina is not Shora. There's Hashem spoke to the Avos at different points in time, but Hashem's not going to speak when we're in a state of sadness. So, after Yosef was taken, was sold to Egypt, what does the pasuk say? Vayomarin lisnachem, right? Yaakov, he cannot be consoled. He was depressed. I think you say, but he was depressed also spiritually. You don't find God speaking to Yaakov. He didn't speak to him that much in the Torah, but you don't find him speaking to Yaakov from the time that Yosef is sold. And now, vatachi, so spirit is alive, and then he does something that's interesting. And what does he do? If you look here in Perek Memvav, Pasukal, Vayisa Yisrael v'chol ashelo, v'yavo Be'er Sheva. So Yaakov and all that belongs to travels, comes to Be'er Sheva, Vayizbak Zavachim le'lokei Aviv Yitzchak. And he offers sacrifices to the God of his father Yitzchak. Okay? So he offers these zvachim. V'yomer Elokim liYisrael b'marah halayla. And Hashem says to Yisrael, that's Yaakov, in the vision of night. V'yomer Yaakov, Yaakov, he says, Yaakov, Yaakov, Yomer Hineni, he says, here I am. V'yomer Anochi Hakel Hakei Avicha, I am the God of your father. Al tira mer de Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid to go to Egypt. Ki l'goy gadol simcha sham. So if God is telling Yaakov not to be afraid, what must Yaakov be feeling?
Afraid.
Right? That's the worst thing. Whenever someone tells you, stop, don't worry. So obviously you're worried. Someone tells you, you know, you never want to hear someone to tell you that. Don't be this when you're feeling that way. You know? So Hashem is telling Yaakov, and he comes to him in a vision at night. He says, don't be afraid. So Yaakov is excited, but he's afraid. Because, you know, you might say, Joey, that the Yaakov wants to go down maybe to fulfill the prophecy. But maybe if he says you're going to be enslaved in a land that's not yours, okay, maybe someone else will do it, but I don't want to go myself. He's afraid to leave the homeland. He didn't want to leave the first time. Now he's going to have to leave the second time. So he's excited about Chi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. Yaakov's spirit is uplifted. But at the same time, he's afraid. He's nervous. And he does something. He offers these sacrifices. He offers the sacrifices Leloke Aviv Yitzchak. So what are Zvachim, by the way? You know what Zvachim are? What type of sacrifices? You know, what are the two classic sacrifices that I brought? We hear about like voluntary sacrifices that I brought. What are the?
Shalim.
The Shlavim, and what else?
Todah.
Oh, okay, Todah is also, right. They're probably around the same category. Well, the Chad, that's not voluntary, what? The Ola. Though, like you have these two. The Ola is the whole animal is burnt. Right? And there you're like, it's like you're offering yourself up to God. There's like a feeling of unworthiness. The Gemara says that you bring a korban olah when you don't fulfill a mitzvah saseh. Again, it's not, some people sometimes do. Now there's lost opportunity, a desire to get close to God, you're feeling a sense of unworthiness. Shlamim, what's the word shalom for the word? Either shalom or shalem. You're feeling good about yourself. You're feeling complete, you're feeling whole, you're feeling a sense that everything's wonderful. So on the one hand, he's offering this zvachim or shlamim. The other hand, he's bringing like a happy sacrifice of completion, because after all, he's going to have all his children now. But he offers it Leloke Aviv Yitzchak, to the God of his father Yitzchak. So the Guru Aryeh asked the following question. He said, or the Ramban actually asked this question. He cites the Ramban and he says, Vayizbach Zvachim Leloke Aviv Yitzchak Shechayev Adem Michvod Avi Yosef Michvod Tzkeinov. Why didn't he offer it to the God of, who else? Who else besides God? Avram, right? Why is it Yitzchak? The Ramban Hikshal Zen. Ramban is asking a question on this. Dahavale lemichtav stam. She just written by Yitzchak Zvachim Elokei Avosav. He offered sacrifice to the God of his fathers. And elsewhere he said, Hashem is the God of my father, Avram, the God of my father, Yitzchak. So the Ramban is bothered why he's specifically offering a korban to the God of Yitzchak. And the Gori says, Ve'en zekasha klal. This is not a question. Al divrei Chazal. Kikan shehu korban. Here it's a korban. Vayedei vayado hu miskarev u miskasher bo yisparach. And through the korban, he gets close to Hashem. V'li'an zeh alokei aviv Yitzchak. It's pachad Yitzchak. So you see, by tefillah, he mentions Abraham. But he's a korban. He's bringing a korban to Yitzchak. I was thinking what that means. You're bringing a korban. So korban is desire to get close to God, but what's he really... Maybe, this is my suggestion, maybe what's going on here, on the one hand he's bringing a shlamim, he's happy, but he's bringing a korban, like, you know, Yitzchak, well, he was a korban, right? Yitzchak was, the Akedah was Yitzchak. So I'm wondering if on the one hand, he's excited, he's to see his son. He is feeling a sense of completion, all his kids are coming together. But I don't know, this might be an Akedah moment for Yaakov. In other words, he's nervous. He's about to leave Eretz Yisrael. He knows he left Eretz Yisrael the first time under bad circumstances, right? When he's running from Esav. That's not good. And now he's nervous. He's afraid. And he's like, he's thinking about Yitzchak. He's thinking about Yitzchak when he made, you know, sacrificed himself. And he's very tense. And the question is, how does Hashem respond to that? And, you know, if you think about, you know, the different roles of the different avos, you know, they're different things. Avram, is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevurah. They have different roles that each of the Avos plays. And I found this Meshech Chachma. For me, it's a very foundational Meshech Chachma here. It adds to my religious worldview. So I want to share with you in terms of how we understand Yaakov and what he's feeling at this time, what God's message to him as he's about to leave and go to Egypt in an unknown circumstance. It says, Vayomer Elokim b'maros halayla. So God speaks to Yaakov in the visions of night. Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov. He says, Yaakov Yaakov. And he says, Hine etzel Avram b'Yitzchak lo matzanu zeh. We don't find this, Avram and Yitzchak. What don't we find? Rak b'Yaakov kad, only by Yaakov. V'uva v'yetze. And what do we find by Yaakov that we don't find by Avram Yitzchak? When does Hashem appear to Avram? When does Hashem appear to Avram? But when does he appear to Yaakov that's not by Avram Yitzchak? At what point in time is he
at night?
At night time, right? When else did Hashem appear to Avram to Yaakov at night?
Chalomot.
When else did he appear at night?
Bris, I'm sorry.
No, but it was during the day. That wasn't at night. It was Tardei Magdola Nafla. He never appears to Avram at night. He never appears to Yitzchak at night. He appears to Yaakov right here. And where else does he appear to Yaakov at night? Where else does he appear to Yaakov at night? In Parsha Vayetze, when he's running away, right? V'yalan Sham Kiva Shemesh. It's sunset. That's right. So Yaakov is the of night. Right? Why? And also because he's also the one of Golos. He's the one who goes to Golos twice in his life. He's about to leave. So God is appearing to Yaakov at night. Yaakov is about to go into Golos. So he's that's what he is. So the timing reflects the situation. Laharos. But what's it to show you? Sha'af balayla, that even at night, b'cheshkas ha'golos, in the darkness of exile, shor shechida b'Yisrael. The God shechida could still remain among the Jews. And sometimes we think, we leave Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, we've done so well in Golos, so sometimes we don't think we're in Golos. But at this point in time, you know, you leave Eretz Yisrael, you're going to feel that presence of Hashem. The answer is yes. In other words, this vision that Hashem has to Yaakov is saying, I will be with you even outside Eretz Yisrael. I will be with you even in Golos. Kamosha amru golu lebavel shechinim ahem. When they were exiled to Bavel, the Shechinah will be with them. V'lazeh Avram tikein tefila shachar. Avram, what he established? Morning prayer. Yitzchak mincha. Yitzchak established the afternoon prayer. And Yaakov Arvitz. Yaakov is slash the evening prayer. Veheim evarim uftarim shem kravim beim yom beim balayla. So the nighttime prayer, that's like about the limbs that are offered, right? Because there's the morning sacrifice, the morning tamid, the afternoon tamid, and at night, what do? You let the limbs burn on the mizbeach. V'inei amruzal and Chazal say, she'ein hashchina shora b'chutzlaretz, rak lemi shehaya roa be'eretz Yisrael. And here's the key. He says, does the Shem Shechina apply in chutzlaretz? No, only if you saw the vision in Eretz Yisrael. Kamosha Amru Yecheskel Sof Moed Katan. So did Yecheskel, who was Yecheskel? He was a prophet at the end of the time in the first place of Migdash. Where did he prophesy? Anyone know when he prophesied? Where he prophesied? No? So Yecheskel prophesies a lot for Bavel. Okay? You're at the end of the time in the first place of Migdash. So like you have the three big prophets in Navi, okay? You have the three big prophets. You have Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel. Yeshayahu is the prophet about 140 years before the destruction of the first base of Migdash. He's around the time of Chizkiyahu when Sancheriv is trying to destroy Sancheriv, and he prophesies that the Jews are going to win. Yeshayahu is around the time when the northern kingdom is exiled. And then the two major prophets at the time of the destruction of the base of Migdash are Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel. Yirmiyahu is prophesizing in Eretz Yisrael, and Yechezkel is prophesizing in Bavel, but he starts off in Eretz Yisrael. And the message here is that you can't prophesize outside Eretz Yisrael. So the Shechinah is in Eretz Yisrael. You can only prophesize outside Eretz Yisrael if you start in Eretz Yisrael. That's what he wants to say. He says, Lochain, Sof Avoda, the end of the Avoda, Kemo Haktara Sevarim, Shekvar Nishkav, Vidizak Beyom, Nov Apalaya. How can you bring the korban, how can you burn the limbs on this Mizbech at night? Because you shechted the animal during the daytime. As long as you start during the day, it continues during the night. Binazu, understand this. Velazelmar, and then to this, he says, Yancho Hashem Beyom, Sarah Hashem will answer you on a day of a calamity, right? Yisakev Hashem Elke Yaakov. That Hashem will lift you up. Shenigla Elav, that he revealed him, that he revealed himself to him at night. Balaila. Umizeh yatzalonu musar asechel. So we have a musar here. A message here. Shekasher Yisrael ochzim el hakabola had neosa. Vochim bedarche velimudei avosechem. That when we follow the path of our ancestors, as hayisraeli hu goyatin Eitan Atik Yomin Asher Niglu Elav Elokim Biyot BaMikdash Al Bachono Asher Ashchina Imahem Gam Chutzlars. Then the Jewish nation, which is an old nation, that God revealed to him when there wasn't Beis Hamikdash, it will still remain in Chutzlars. Gam Balayla, Avol Bizman Sheshachu Bris Avoseim. At the time when they forget the covenant of their ancestors and they don't follow their path, then it doesn't apply to Chutzlars. What the Meshech Chachma is saying is that God is giving Yaakov a message saying that don't think that Eretz Yisrael is the only place that you can have a connection with me, but you have to reach back to Eretz Yisrael. And that when you're in a state of darkness and a state of godless. But sort of what my takeaway from this Meshech Chachma, why it's sort of a little foundational for me, is that our emuna, like how we connect with God during times of calamity, during times of tzara, during times of godless, is only dependent on how we build ourselves up in happy times. And as we go through different like turns in life, sometimes we're like feeling very good about ourselves, good about our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, good about our relationship with everyone, and sometimes we're going through the tough times. And just like if you have the strong relationship with Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, then you can survive in the galus because you're continuing that. I think it's the same idea as well in our sort of spiritual life. The extent that we build strong foundations of emuna when things are going well, then we can do well when things aren't going so well. Like I could say, you know, the Rambam, there's a famous debate between the Ramban and the Rambam as to whether the mitzvah of prayer is a daily prayer, is a mitzvah doraisa, Torah obligation. The Ramban says that the only Torah obligation of prayer is when? Anyone know? The Ramban said there's no mitzvah of daily prayer according to the Torah. Okay, so if you just want to follow Torah law, you don't have to daven. No? Okay. The message is the rabbi, it's not like you don't have to daven.
It's a
Yisrael,
right?
So the Ramban says, very good. The Ramban said, the rabbi says the mitzvah of tefillah each and every day. The Ramban says, no, there's only a mitzvah of prayer in times of crisis. So what that means, I mean, think what that means. So the rabbi says you got to pray every day. So you know what that means, to me at least. It means that we basically spend our entire life just praying. It's practice for the times when we're going to need it. In other words, we spend most of our days, hopefully we have decent lives, and lives that are fulfilling, and lives that we're happy, and lives that we're not in a state of tzara. And we spend most of our lives in prayer, building up our emuna muscles for the time when it's actually necessary, when there's an obligation to seek God. And we can only do that if we built ourselves up in quote unquote Eretz Yisrael, in the happy times. And like I like to say also, I think I made this comment this past Tisha B'Av as well, similar comment, that, you know, like this past year in Tisha B'Av, so many people were probably saying that usually on Tisha B'Av, we have to manufacture sadness. Some people are the high level. Usually we have to manufacture sadness, right? We have to pretend, we have to try to feel what it's like to be in Galus. Because if we have decent lives, we don't think about, oh, woe is me, that we live in exile. But on Tisha B'Av, we have to manufacture this kind of sad. We have to feel like really sad. This past year, right, October 7th shaped our Tisha B'Av, right? In other words, we didn't have to manufacture sadness. We felt it. October 7th shaped Tisha B'Av. But I think, I made this point, I think the opposite is true also. I think Tisha B'Av helped shape our October 7th, meaning because we have a religious approach, you know, and how we relate to tragedies, we in some sense, yeah, I mean, we heard of unbelievable stories of people who lost relatives, and they're like, the faith is off the charts. And some say it's a coping mechanism, maybe, but like, I think a lot of it is that they're Tisha B'Avs, and they're building up for their emuna, help prepare them for October 7th. And so I think that what we try to do is like, you know, why do I have to keep on davening and working on myself, and like things are pretty good. And hopefully we spend our lives try just building that connection with Hashem and working on it. And so like with the Meshech Chag, saying with Yaakov Avinu, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. I'll be there for you. Because Yaakov, you've built up a tremendous amount of emunah muscles and connection with me in Eretz Yisrael, that you'll be able to continue it. And when your descendants reconnect back to the values of Eretz Yisrael, so you'll also be able to survive. So I think that's like that's why this Meshech Chachor for me is foundational in terms of how we live our lives. That sometimes, you know, we don't, you know, sometimes we're not in the mood to work on ourselves, not, and sometimes we may not need to. A lot of what we do, a lot of what we're doing in prayer, a lot of what we're doing in our religious development is really, in a sense, preparing ourselves. It's like building ourselves up to make ourselves, hopefully, vehicles of emunah. It's very hard. So that hopefully, again, I would never judge anyone who doesn't deal, and I myself don't always deal with a challenging situation well, but hopefully we work on ourselves. You know, Avram and Yitzhak they had, for the most part, you know, Yitzhak obviously had the Akedah. They're living in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov is the Abba of Golos. He's the Av of the three of us who had to go down to Golos, and he gives us the formula in order to how we can not only survive, but we can thrive in Golos and exile.